coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on the Standardbred Canada website. I'm Norm Bourne. The OMAPA report is out, as by now all of us know, and we want to get to the heart of the matter, and to do so, we've been able to contact former minister, Mr. John Snowblin, a former minister, of course, in the Mike Harris government. He was the education minister at the time. He has a background in the equine arts, if you will. That's why he was asked to be on the committee, looking into ways to sustain horse racing. He is on the other end of my line. Mr. Snowblin, welcome.
Hey, great to join you.
First question, and after that I want to get to the meat of the report itself. You were in cabinet when Premier Mike Harris initiated the Slots at Racetracks program, correct?
All those many years ago, yes, I was.
If you were premier at the time, would you have done the same thing?
You know, well, let's go to a hard question. you'll know that cabinet ministers don't discuss what happens in cabinet and don't discuss their opinions that they may have expressed at the cabinet table. I'll tell you, I had reservations at the time. The racing industry needed a lifeline for sure. The problem with tying the funding of racing with slots, I think, could be foreseen at that time, which is you're tying to something that they really don't have any influence over.
Okay. Well, before we get, let's make one thing clear. You were on the OMAFRA committee, of course. What the committee has proposed are just that, proposals. They're not intended to be set in stone, so hopefully it's a model that can be tweaked. Can you talk about that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. We wanted to give the government and the industry, frankly, a model from which they could negotiate, really to bring two willing partners together to a table to say, okay, how do we do this? You know, the government, I think, believed that when they withdrew the SART program that the industry would condense but not collapse. We came to a different conclusion than that and made some recommendations to them on what a new industry might look like, both in terms of sustainable size and what kind of public funding would be required for that. And that's really a precursor to any kind of negotiation or discussions that the industry and the government can now have.
Now, there were some tracks that weren't listed in the appendix. Is it because they weren't asked to discuss the report, or did they just not choose to participate?
No, we talked to all of the tracks before we came out with our preliminary report or interim report in the middle of August. And we didn't go back over all of that ground again. We didn't have, to be honest with you, we didn't have the time to do that. We had to have a very scoped set of conversations to really dance around the art of the possible. So while everyone was willing, our time frame required us to focus in on some very specific components of the industry that we thought were really important in putting this model together. That doesn't mean everybody else wasn't important or that we didn't have an awful lot of input that got us to that stage. It just was what was necessary to get to the final report ready.
Same question for the horsemen's groups?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we had long and fruitful conversations both formally and informally with the horsemen groups across the province, and I think they gave us a pretty good sense of where they stood and what they saw in that interim report. We didn't really have to go back and touch on that base again.
Next question is twofold, and that is that many in the standardbred industry feel that they've been taken a hit, or that they have taken a hit in favor of the thoroughbreds. A, would you agree? And B, why so much money for thoroughbreds when there's only effectively two thoroughbred tracks in the province and the remainder are all standardbreds?
Yeah, you know, we could spend at least an hour on that subject, so that's a great question. We debated much of this amongst ourselves. Our final model is predicated on, and you know, I don't think the number of race days that we proposed are exactly right in terms of the split between standardbred A, B, and C, or even the split between thoroughbred A and standardbred A. I think that's subject to some finer look at the numbers. But here's what it's predicated on. We took the gross amount of money that was available from the paramutual handle. We took our best guess at where that handle was generated, whether it was thoroughbred or standardbred in the various levels, and then applied that to purses and made race days out of that. Now, whether we did a perfect job on that or it really doesn't matter, that'll come before a table and be talked about. And as you know, those numbers are a little nebulous. It's a little hard to arrive on exactly what the right formula is. But we think the basis of it, which is tying the amount of purses and therefore the available number of race days to the amount of handle available to actually the participation of horse players and fans of horse racing is a critical issue for, on a go-forward basis with the industry.
Now, let me ask you, because there seems to be some rather drastic discrepancies in the handle numbers. From the report Standardbred A, or Premier, in the Standardbred A category, 243 dates in 2011, it says the industry received $37 million from pari-mutuel handle. Thoroughbred A category, 165 dates, the industry receiving $65 million from the handle. Now, here's where it gets confusing. According to a WEG release, the 2011 campaign of Standardbred Racing produced an all-sources total of almost $300 million wagered. Now, these numbers differ drastically. How do we square that?
Okay, our numbers come from, as I said before, there's going to be a lot of number crunching done before the final number arrives. But let me tell you how we got to what was really a good guess. Mm-hmm. That is, we took what ORC reported as being the contribution to purses from handle in each of those categories, and we took the track contribution in each of those categories from the handle and added them together. So in other words, it's 100% of the handle that ORC said was applied to tracks and to purses with all the takeouts gone. So it's net of all the takeouts.
So it's a net payout. Okay.
It's a net payout. So here's the problem with that. Now, which is roughly double, right? I mean, so roughly half goes to tracks and half goes to purses. Mm-hmm. We took 100% of that and applied it to purses. And without getting too far into the weeds or into the mud on this thing, there's a real question. You know, about 70% of wagering in Ontario goes to external or foreign product, and that's generated at tracks across the province. So it's difficult to correctly appropriate that amount of the handle to the appropriate amount of racing, and that's going to require some intense negotiation.
Okay, and there's every indication that is still on the table and can be negotiated and tweaked, as we said.
Oh, absolutely. We've Elmer Buchanan, John Wilkinson, and I have rejected the notion that we are an expert panel. We are a panel, and this is going to take some number crunching. We've had a lot of support and a lot of help from both all the horseman groups and the tracks, and also ORC, who've been very helpful in this. But it's going to require negotiation, not just a straight calculation.
It's good to see money going to purses. I think we can all agree on that. However, the committee and many of us in the industry, myself included, have all said that, look, we have to improve the wagering product. We have to improve incentives to wager. There seems to be nothing in that area. All the money is going to the purses, and the other revenues go to the tracks. Do we not have to try and find a category C that says, look, you know, spend this much on product wagering product?
Oh yeah, no. Listen, we're 100% behind that. Look, when we began this work, there were two things that were, I think, startling to lots of the folks who had not previously looked at the equine industry. One of those was that there wasn't very much, or actually no, government terra firma, no government foundation in terms of recording and understanding the impact of the overall horse industry in Ontario. It's a huge industry, but it's been ignored largely by governments for many, many, many years. I mean, we have an expert department keeping track of sheep at OMAFRA, but no one who's assigned to horses. So first, the baseline data was a mess. And secondly, in all of the things that we've done and looked at the psychology of horse playing and how pari-mutuel wagering is done and conducted and what our competition is like around the world, there is very little research into the marketing of horse products. Now, we set aside $10 million to do marketing in this area per year. Mm-hmm. In this report. Now, and while that may or may not be enough money, and we haven't dictated how that would be spent, we have said that there needs to be more research. We need to do the kind of marketing strategies that we have in other industries in order to both to retain and attract new customers. So we've allocated that amount. We've made mention of some of the things that we know to be important to horse players, but there's a lot more work to do on that file, And if the industry believes that there should be more money put aside for that, then I think that's rightly and properly before the government at the negotiation table.
Here's what gets confusing to folks like myself and many of us in the industry. This program has worked well. The standard bread industry creates thousands of jobs. I'm not going to get into specifics on a definite number, but it creates a lot of jobs. It generates a lot of revenue. Standard bread in particular, we can compete with the best in the world on the standard bread level, whether it's the Meadowlands, Solvalla in Sweden, Vincent in France. On the thoroughbred side, let's face it, I mean, Woodbine is a wonderful track, but when you look at it in the big picture, it's not on the same level as a Santa Anita or a Belmont or anything like that. So why the standardbreds getting hit so hard?
Well, we tweaked our, in part, it's a reflection and a mirror of what happened with SARP. The Slotted Racetrack Program distributed money into the industry based on the number of tracks, not based on the economic activity of the industry. So not based on at all on handle, really just based on how slot machines performed at various tracks. So we have huge anomalies in that model. I mean, we have tracks where the racing might not be very good, but the slot machines are very good, so therefore there's a distortion in purse and track support. You know, it's about $4 billion over the course of that program, and I think everyone would agree that it's not been targeted properly and not always been spent wisely. So there's an anomaly there which gives us a much larger standardbred product and thoroughbred product in the province, which is kind of inverted from where we see the handle coming from. I mean, the parimutuel wagering on thoroughbreds is around the world fairly robust. It's equally robust, or at least certainly robust, at some levels of standardbred racing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody's aware of the fact that we've been running races in contest with each other. I mean, in Ontario, it hasn't been a branded product. It hasn't been thought through on how we provide this to horse players.
No.
And that, I think, has created has really hurt wagering on standardbred racing in the last 10 years. I think that's evident from the numbers.
It's a shame too, because if you look at the Swedens, you look at the France betting model, you can see that it is extremely popular on the standardbred side, and that's where we're going to need federal help. CPMA has to step in and work together with the industry to create these new models.
Let me just finish with this, because I think it's really a key point. I don't disagree with you at all. There's a potential there, and CPMA we've talked to them. They've suggested that they're open to maybe more open now than they would have been a year or so ago to having a look at some of those products and helping us create a more robust industry. We're not trying to design the best or most robust industry for 2013. Frankly, we're trying to get a foundation that the industry can grow from. Here's another point. We had really two objectives in this. One was to protect that handle and help to grow it, but the other was to create economic churn for public investment. And I agree with you completely that it's an inverse model. The handle comes at the top end of the industry, whether it's standardbred A or the top end of the thoroughbred business. The churn happens in the middle or bottom end of that industry. That's where most of the money is spent. That's where most of the activity is. You know, putting a shoe on a horse that's worth $10,000 is just exactly the same amount of activity as putting a shoe on a horse that's worth $100,000. So, we purposely tilted it a little towards the bottom end, and maybe that tilt needs to be more exaggerated. And I think, again, that's something that needs to be talked through at a table where the industry's working with the government on what the best model is for the future.
Panels seem to say that racing would operate where tracks want live racing. Is that true?
You know, we have to bring the tracks in, and you know, we've been to this in one round. Now that the government's engaged, so it will take over that function of bringing the tracks in and saying, look, we really need to have the tracks are the interface with their customer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter how you look at it, they have the first retail connection with customers. That's not to say the horsemen or breeders don't have a lot to say in this industry, but that the tracks really control that interface. And so we need some cooperation. We need a central race secretariat. We need to have tracks that are willing to invest everything they make back into the industry. That's going to be subject of a set of discussions that are going to begin very, very soon. The indications we have, certainly from some of the most senior players in the industry, is that willingness is there.
Good to know. Yeah. John Snoblin, thank you very much for this.
Hey, listen, thanks. Enjoy talking to you. Hope to talk to you again.
We will.
All right. Bye now.